Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into Frank Herbert's cinematic adaptation of the world of Dune. I think I got that backwards, but I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John, and you've been getting it backwards for almost every intro you've done.
Hey man, I got to keep them on their toes.
I always say the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune.
Yeah.
You always say Frank Herbert's cinematic adaptation of the World of Dune.
That's true.
Which is not correct because Frank Herbert did not make this movie. Denis Villeneuve made this movie.
That's true. All right. Well, one of these days I'll get it right.
One of these days.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll get the things that I wrote
correct. Listen, I'm right. You're wrong. You originally wrote this and you fucked it up still.
I'm right. You're wrong. I'm big. You're little.
Today we are continuing our conversation in this weird job interview in which the applicant pulls a knife on the person that is hiring them.
Yep, that's true. In all my years of hiring people, that has never happened to me, thank goodness.
So in fairness, a lot of the people that you've hired have been hired over Zoom. But you did hire quite a few in person as well.
I did. Never any knives, though.
So we ended last week, or not last week, we ended yesterday's episode with shout out very slowly beginning to reach for the knife in her bodice that Lady Jessica very brazenly called her out for bringing into the palace.
And I think shout out is probably more careful than this. But if there was ever to be a moment in this movie for a ripped bodice, this would have been it. I know it's not that kind of story.
Sure.
But there have been multiple mentions of, or at least a mention of a bodice, and the fact that it didn't get ripped, a little disappointed.
Yes, shout out reaches under her robe and pulls out a long, slender sheathed blade. And in this moment, strings begin to rise and we get more of that rising tension in the music and everything. Because, like I said, the applicant just pulled a knife on the on the boss in this interview. She then unsheathes it and says, you know, do you know what this is? And she's holding the knife out at a
horizontal
plane in front of both of them. Jessica says it's a Chris knife.
Oh, and what a Chris knife it is.
Oh, yes.
A awesome looking knife. We've seen glimpses of them already in the movie.
Yep.
Through Paul's visions. But this is the first time that I think the camera lingers on one.
No. So we saw one earlier that was very, very dripping bloody.
I think this is maybe the first time that we see like how the actual blade looks unbloodied, definitely unbloodied.
It is the first Chris knife, the first like in person Chris knife that we see for sure.
Yeah.
One that is physically there and not just a vision. Shout out in this moment, you know, you even see her hand begin to tremble and she looks down at the knife and back at Jessica. And she just straight up asks, do you know the meaning?
Yep. I think it's right here where we get the battle language. Or is it after the next line?
So Jessica says, you were correct.
Yeah.
In this moment, Jessica signs in battle language, be ready for violence.
Yeah. And the guard takes a step forward and half draws the blade. Before we get too far away from this, I want to talk about these questions. Do you know what this is?
Do
you know its meaning? Very strange things to be asking someone who you've just met, who's not from your planet.
Hey, do you know what this knife is?
What's that mean? It's very odd. From what I took from this, like with, you know, the overall like kind of greater context that we have, this is a test of shout out. Like shout out is testing Jessica here.
Yes.
She is, you know, given every, like all the prophecies that she's lived with. And you know, we'll talk about that here in just a second. I feel like these are questions to test Jessica to see if she is, you know, capital the one that we talked about yesterday. These are all just to, you know, her little litmus tests to see, you know, is this person the one? you know, what is this knife? And Jessica goes, it's a Chris knife. There should be no reason for her to know that.
In this moment, the interviewer becomes the interviewee. Yeah, right.
Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah.
She clearly had
some questions that she had prepared. She had workshopped these with her friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She came to this interview ready to go.
So she, Jessica, does her sign language to the guard, be ready for violence. The guard, immediately draws their sword halfway, their kinjal. And then Jessica turns around or doesn't turn around. She says back to shout out, it's a maker.
Shout out begins to wail.
And this is something that has stuck with me since the very first time I saw this movie. This feels so disjointed. It feels like this wail is just out of nowhere. And I've always had the sneaking suspicion, maybe, or feeling that there was a cut scene right here.
I disagree. So the first time I saw it, yeah, I would have agreed with you.
Okay.
But the first time we saw it, you and I were in a theater, not in great seats, by the way. We were very close.
Okay.
I want to say in like the fifth or the sixth row.
Eesh.
Yeah. But it was also, you know, 2021 and everyone was like getting back into the theaters itching for the first time. Yeah. And also you're in theaters, you know, you don't get to read your movies as you watch them.
This is true.
So shout out Wales. And then says, a maker of the deep desert.
Yeah.
When you have lived with prophecy for so long, the moment of revelation is a shock.
Yeah.
And that to me explains why she just outburst. Whale has this moment because everything that she has been told her entire life is coming true in front of her eyes. And she is the one to reveal or to have this revelation to then spread amongst the rest of the Fremen.
Yeah.
So I can understand why, like, it seems so weird and sudden.
It is an emotional outburst from her. You're absolutely right. There's a look from Shoutout right before she says those lines. It almost looks embarrassed. I don't know if you clocked that or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. She kind of looks down and she goes, it's almost as if to say, like,
sorry
about that.
Yeah. hey, sorry. I just got really excited.
Yeah. So in the books, again, the dialogue is keeping a fairly close, pace to the books at this point. Because it is the books, we get a lot of internal monologue from Jessica. Mm-hmm. What she, again, in the books, was intending to say was, it's a maker of death.
Because but shout out interrupts.
She kind of interrupts her with that wail. Yeah. So the there's some like some more like thought dialogue or thought monologue from Jessica about how the word for knife in Jacobsa means maker of death.
Yeah.
So that's what she was trying to translate and to get out. But instead she gets shout out interrupting her saying, maker of the deep desert, which is a fairly thinly veiled reference to Shai Hulud and the worm.
Bless the maker and his water.
Bless the maker and his water. Yes. But yeah, so that's, I don't know, given like that backstory, like, or at least from the books to this, it just felt disjointed, maybe on purpose because she did interrupt her with that wailing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's always felt jarring to me.
It's jarring.
On purpose.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's intentionally that way.
Yeah.
Shout out continues. She says, Lisan al-Ghaib, the mother and the son.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding is that the Bene Gesserit for hundreds of years, if not longer, through their implantation of the idea of Lisan al-Ghaib among the Fremen, the mother and the son thing is just another one of those signs that, as Paul so eloquently says, they were told to look for.
Yeah, it is a vague enough prophecy.
Yeah.
What son
someone
doesn't have
around here had a grandpa that died in the last, I don't know, 10 years, maybe.
I think unless, you know, human biology has taken wild, wild turns in the future. Most sons have mothers. So this is a very vague
statement.
Yeah, a very vague statement that you know, any number of people that come to Arrakis could fulfill.
Yep.
Which is the Bene Gesserit way. Yeah, make it specific enough, make it ingrained enough that we can use it for whatever purposes we need to.
Yep. Shoutout then proceeds to sheath the Chris knife and places it in.
She does what?
Sheaths.
How dare she? How dare she put that knife up without blood?
That is true.
How dare she?
I didn't even think about that.
She did. She did. She puts the blade up with no blood, which we do not get explained in the movie. So it's understandably why it's not here. But that rang in my head.
So for the people that are listening that might not know this.
You cannot put your Chris knife away without it touching blood. So, that is a core belief.
So even if she like nicked her finger and got a little of her own blood on there, would that
that would suffice? So okay. This scene in the books, this is a deviation that we get in the movie. She does well. It starts the same way. She puts the Chris knife back without blood, and this is just another part of the test, really, because Jessica then goes, "What are you doing?" She goes, how? She's like, you're not supposed to put that away without blood. And then shout out Mapes goes, oh my gosh. She like starts to exclaim again. She's like, oh geez. Oh no, no. She's like, take my water, which to them means, you know, spill my blood for this. And then Jessica has the knife at this point and like makes a mark on her chest and draws blood and then puts it back. But again, this was just, you know, in the books anyways, that was just part of more of the test to see if Jessica truly is the person who knows their ways without being born to them.
Yep. But anyways, in our movie,
sorry, I just had to get that.
No. It's important because it is a deviation.
Yep.
Shout out. Sheathes the Chris knife, places it in Jessica's hand and clasps her own hands around Jessica's. Mm-hmm. It is yours. Tooth of Shai Hulud.
Tooth of Shai Hulud. The tooth. So this knife, we didn't describe it earlier, but it is it's clearly not made of steel. It is
bone.
Yeah. It looks like bone. I almost described it as like a milky white, texture because that's kind of how it's described in the books.
I would say more like
an ivory cream,
but it gets darker near the hilt lighter at the tip.
Yep. The reason for this is that it is carved from the tooth of a giant sandworm. These knives are incredibly sacred to the Fremen.
Yep.
As we've seen over the past couple seconds in movie time, but a couple minutes that we've been talking about here, it is something that's very, very important to them. The encyclopedia describes the knives as... There's basically two types of knives, of Chris knives. There are ones that are fixed or unfixed. In the books, shout out specifically says this is a fixed blade.
Okay.
The difference between the two is that a fixed blade can be stored indefinitely. There's no degradation that happens with the blades. An unfixed blade is something that it has to be kept in close proximity to a living body. Otherwise, it degrades and becomes incredibly fragile.
What makes a blade fixed versus unfixed?
It's a little vague from the encyclopedia, but it's something to do with like how you treat the blade with like electrical pulses. I think it just says, which is kind of it's very hand wavy. Kind of thing, but
we do a thing to it.
Yeah, it's science. But understandably, they do not get into that in the movies.
Well, last time you mentioned electrical pulses, we got really sad because we were talking about heart-shaped scallops.
Well, we don't have to talk about them. There's no living beings inside the knife. But because this is a tooth of the worm.
Of Shai Hulud himself.
Of Shai Hulud, there is a part of the tooth that is hollow because of the nerves.
Yes.
Just like with normal teeth. in the encyclopedia describes the like the hollow portion of the blade, where the nerve once was usually filled with whatever the most deadly poison was available to the Fremen carrying this knife. So you could use this knife with a poison aspect.
Gotcha.
For good reason. I think they don't go into any of this in the movies. I think this is a cool feature of like a hollow knife. That's kind of cool. So, my notes on the fixed / unfixed debates, it says something to do with electrical fields. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I think that's about where our minute ends.
It is right there. So, it's a good minute.
Oh, great.
It's, we have that moment of revelation.
Yep. Again, a lot more lore, that happens, in this minute. I do love how close it was, like dialogue wise to the books. That was great. So yeah, awesome stuff.
I wonder why they cut out the whole moment that Jessica has where she calls out shout out for sheathing a unbled blade.
I don't know.
Could have just been a time thing. Could have just been a,
maybe, they don't ever get into it. I mean, we see later, something that's more like that is relevant to our discussion. When we meet Fremen later in the movie, we see them.
That's like, at the end of the movie though.
It's a long way.
That's only now. Like 200, probably 100 episodes down the line from where we are now. So,
yeah, but I don't know. They never draw attention to it. I don't think it matters in the grand scheme of things. Especially since they're not doing anything. They're probably not going to do anything past Messiah.
Yeah.
So
I'd be shocked if they did.
Yeah.
God Emperor.
It'd be an animation series. I don't know. They didn't do it. I think it's fine. It doesn't add or detract from the story really, or at least the story that they're telling here.
Yeah.
So it's fine, but it is a cool little detail.
Cool.
Well, any other notes?
I have no notes, but if you have other cool little details, you can email them to DuneMinute@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @DuneMinute or on Instagram @TheDuneMinute.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you. Separate from that, we will be back tomorrow to talk about minutes 43 through 44 as we continue to explore the palace and see what other secrets and cool things it holds.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Dune Minute Podcast.
See ya. Bye.